Kurt?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
John? Mark?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
And Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, we have a full assembly this evening. It's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, looking for approval of the meeting minutes from May 5th. Entertain a motion for that.
So moved. Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Lynn and seconded by Member Haverlick to approve the meeting minutes of May 5th. Is there any changes by any of the other assembly members? Seeing none, the minutes for the meeting of May 5th are approved. Now we need amendment or approval and approval of the meeting minutes for this evening, May 19th.
So moved. Second.
Been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Wallhooter to approve this evening's minutes. Is there any changes? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on with the agenda as set. Public hearing and bid awards. Public hearing on ordinance 2014-8, parks and recreation user fees. Is there anybody in the audience this evening that would like to speak on the park and recreation user fees, ordinance 2014-8? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the next public hearing, and that public hearing is on ordinance 2014-09. Camping and recreation areas, or camping and recreation areas. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to that this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to a public hearing on ordinance 2014-10, borough budget and setting millage rate for July 1st, 2014 through June 20th, 2015. The ordinance has been amended to reflect the changes made by the Assembly at the May 5th, 2014 meeting. The ordinance has further been amended to accommodate the purchase of a wheelchair accessible van for Mountain View Manor. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to participate in the public hearing on ordinance 2014-10? Okay, could you please come to the podium, state your name, who you represent?
This is budget and mill rate included in this, right? My name is Jerry Merrigan. I'm a homeowner in service area 2 up the road there. And I was an ex-charter commissioner, and I just want to comment on the budget, particularly the article in last week's pilot about the budget, where it was saying that due to a supposed decrease in the projected revenue from service area 2, you had to raid a contingency fund. And I thought this was kind of interesting because I went back to the petition and looked at what revenues that you expected from the 4 mil area, and that was $184,000. So after the revised assessments, you ended up with $218,000, which most people would look at as a 19% surplus. So how does a surplus become a shortfall? Well, it looks like what happened is that the budget you had was based on taking the preliminary assessment from the assessor before there were any appeals and saying, well, this is where our revenue is going to be. Well, you knew there was going to be a lot of appeals. The city manager was quoted on that in the paper in October, saying you're going to expect an above-average number, as you would in any first-time assessment process. To use that number, I mean, we just went through a rather large recession in the U.S. One thing we should have learned is to be wary of using inflated property values. So to use that number, you know it's going to go down. No one's going to come in and appeal, or maybe somebody is, one person, to say, please raise my property assessment. You know, I would like more taxes, but you know this is going to go down, and to use that number in a budget, and then to come out in the paper say we're having a shortfall, and we are considering maybe raising the mill rate, but we're going to raise this. That is a manufactured deficit. That's not being prudent to use that number in a budget as an expected actual revenue. And all I'm asking you guys is to use, like, you're always going to have these shortfalls and have knee-jerk reactions about raising mill rates if you use unrealistic revenue projections. And one of the things on property values that when I looked at the petition and the transition budget, which I know is a planning document and guidance, but one was you had the land selections, And in the petition, you have $50,000 a year from new revenue every year from the new land selections being sold that came from borough formation. But that's supposedly in the budget started in fiscal year 11 and 12. So now we're like 3 years out. We haven't even selected land. We haven't sold any, much less that. So it's like $150,000 in arrears in the transition budget. So I would think that's real money. That's real stuff. You know, that's what the focus should be. And I know it comes up later on, but the idea of taking some of the $600,000 startup money and hiring consultants for this doesn't really seem appropriate. I would just point out that in the annexation process and the borough process, you hired consultants. You spent 5 years, consultant did prepare a paper on budget versus annexation, you want annexation, and they went, but I guess there's something short, is you focus it on the realistic, revenue sources, and then temper your spending accordingly. It was a little disturbing to see we're considering raising the mill rate before we even got billed for one. And I know it's just a discussion thing in the paper, but that's the kind of knee-jerk reaction we don't need. We need some more deterministic method of setting the budget and realistic numbers.
Can you get to your point, Jerry? We have a real busy agenda this evening, so yeah. I'm not trying to cut anybody off. But,
I got, even with my bad vision, I got the language.
Yeah, we get your point, and I don't know that maybe the city managers can respond to this. I've been gone for a month, and I did keep up on that, and I did see that we had to readjust the contingency money, and just like you said, because there was when the appeals came in and they readjusted the money we were really going to get,
I guess the point was
cut that in half.
The expected revenues you had in your petition, you got more than what you expected in the petition. You got 20% more. It wasn't a shortfall. You used a number that wasn't even finalized yet because you know it's going to come down after the appeals. You should have probably stuck with the more conservative number and stayed with that, and your budget would have been fine. You wouldn't have derated any funds. That would have been a more realistic thing to do.
Well, let's not start bantering back and forth. It's going to get totally out of line. So thank you for your testimony. So is there anybody else that wants to participate in the public hearing on Ordinance 2014-10, the borough budget and setting millage rate for this next fiscal year? Okay, seeing none, that public hearing is closed. Looking for authorization to purchase a wheelchair accessible van from EK Bus Sales for the total not to exceed $63,777.36. Excuse me. EK Bus Sales is an equipment provider listed on the Washington State Vehicle Procurement Contract and is being used because the State of Alaska Equipment Contract does not list a vehicle that would meet requirements. Purchase of the vehicle without a competitive bid process is allowed by Municipal Code Section 4.04.040G. So I'd entertain a motion to authorize the borough to go forward with this purchase.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Haverlick to authorize the purchase of the wheelchair accessible van not to exceed $63,777.36. Any discussion for the assembly? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
James.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is visitors' views related to the agenda, and Member Haverlick has a letter from a gentleman that couldn't make it tonight, and this might be the appropriate time to read that. Can you do it in 2 minutes? Because I think I'm going to put a two-minute time limit on.
Okay, I'll read it quick.
No, I'm just...
A neighbor across the street, Dave Randrup, requested that I read this letter. He went out for his helmet, I have cues. This afternoon, so he couldn't be here. The borough formation has presented a platform for Petersburg residents to formally collaborate with other agencies to control decisions upon impacts of natural resources. A test of borough effectiveness will be the current University of Alaska Land Management timber sales of South Midcalf Island and Wrangell Narrows East. The Central Southern Southeast Alaska Plan of November 2000 defines the utilization of these parcels as follows. Wrangell Narrows, management intent. Parcel is to be managed for dispersed recreation and to maintain scenic qualities. Protect wildlife habitat values, particularly critical deer winter habitat. maintain the integrity of large block of old growth set aside by the USFS along Blind Sloop. Resources uses, dispersed recreation, habitat, wildlife, scenic resources, timber. 3, related information, community harvest area for deer hunters using boat access. B, forms the backdrop for cruise ships, Alaska Marine Highway charter boats, and personal watercraft viewing. C, deer use lower slopes extensively in part because this side of Minkoff Island receives less snow than adjacent areas. D, receives considerable use by moose and contains good marten habitat. The USFS rates forested lands immediately adjacent to both sides of this unit as the highest value deer winter range. F, the USFS has designated a small old growth reserve adjacent to this unit. G, the parcel is surrounded by USFS VCU number 4480, which is ranked as having the highest sensitivity disturbance of subsistence use areas for communities in Southeast Alaska. South Minkoff Island management intent. Parcels to be managed consistent with the legislation established the Ernie Hagen public use area. 2, resources use, dispersed and marine related recreation. B, critical deer winter range. C, waterfall concentration area in adjacent tidelands. D, community habitat area. 3, related information is a continuation of the critical deer winter range on South Minkoff Island. B, the shoreline is a winter waterfall concentration area, community harvest area for salmon and commercial Dungeness crab harvest area. As a lifelong resident of Petersburg, I hope you can appreciate my concern of these two areas and their continued benefits to future generations.
Thank you, John. So that was from Dave Randrup. Any other views related to tonight's agenda? Do you step up the microphone and state your name and who you represent? Can I just get a show of hands to see how many people want to participate, so maybe we don't have to put a stringent timeline on it? I think we're going to limit it to 2 minutes then. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members, for this opportunity to speak. I am Suzanne Wood, and I am representing myself here tonight. I attended by conference over 4.5 years the Board of Forestry meetings where public safety relating to timber harvest on steep and unstable slopes was discussed. During this period, the same Sea Alaska employee held the seat on the board with very active participation. Later on, a principal from Alcan Forest Products held the seat on the board and voted twice along with the Sea Alaska employee to pass their obligations for public safety off to local zoning ordinances. And finally, a Columbia helicopter principal took an active role with participation on the Board of Forestry's own Landslide Science and Technical Committee, also called S&TC. The current state regional forester in charge of the Petersburg area held a full-time seat on the S&TC that developed the Minkoff Island scoping map, and that's these maps that are in your pile there. She is the individual who signed off sight unseen on the trust timber harvest plan above our homes, Minkoff Highway and the Taiyi Hydroelectric Corridor in June 2006, an area that has since experienced 5 additional natural landslides. She also signed off on the university sale at South Minkoff, an area of known slide activity, including the September 2012 debris avalanche and logjam that impacted Wilson Creek, cataloged Andromedas water area, and those are the slide photos that you have. Further, our attempt to amend the Forest Resources and Practices Act, FERPA, through HB, that's House Bill 91, was stopped when the state forester who chairs the Board of Forestry attached a fiscal note which effectively killed the bill in the House Resources Committee at the end of the 2012 session. All 4 of these Board of Forestry members effectively stopped any further attempt by the public to prevent slides that could impact the public safety, even though they actively participated in the discussions and final decisions that led to this point. They are still consciously ignoring public safety above Minkoff Highway. It is my understanding that the university is also aware of the landslide hazard potential on their property. I believe the question now is, after 4.5 years of in-depth study of the landslide issue, why does the South Mitkoff timber plan still seem to be moving forward without so much as a professional risk analysis of potential slide impacts to highway traffic, fish habitat, or water quality? Could it be that everyone involved to this point believes the lack of local zoning ordinances will make the Petersburg Borough the only party that will face the consequences if a citizen is harmed for the potential of increased slide activity due to logging? Are we the deer in the headlights? The proposed university sale in the Wrangell Narrows is located along Alaska's scenic byway. While the SNTC mapping does not show potential landslide hazard to the public on the university's Narrows property, the fact is it is mapped and does show steep slopes in excess of 67% grade. There is already one slide there that is partially visible from the Narrows. That is a pretty good indication that these slopes are also unstable. Just up the Narrows, amidst the various mostly summer lodge community, there exists evidence of massive blowdown. Neighboring structures lost dozens of trees when high winds coursed the Narrows and plowed through recent timber harvest openings in the once intact canopy. Wrangell Narrows and Keene Channel property owners may be further adversely affected by the university's proposed timber harvest. How has it come to pass, after all the Board of Forestry discussion on this issue, that Alaska is still the only coastal region north of the U.S.-Mexico border that has no mention of public safety anywhere in its Forest Resources and Practices Act? I always assumed that local zoning ordinances were to supplement state and federal regulations, not shoulder the... I just have a little bit, just one other sentence. I always assumed that local zoning ordinances were to supplement state and federal regulations, not shoulder the whole burden of logging unstable slopes within municipal or borough boundaries. I guess I was wrong. Thank you for this opportunity to express my views. I am hopeful the borough strongly considers co-signing the letter being presented tonight from the city of Kuppernaw. Thank you for giving me this time.
Anybody else like to speak to this? George, can you please step up, state your name and who you represent?
Can I speak?
Yeah, can you please step, yeah.
I suppose I really should introduce myself. My name is George Rice. I was a teacher in the local schools and owned Petersburg Marine Logging Supply. As a matter of fact, I sold a chainsaw to Mr. Wood's father so he could cut down trees in Thomas Bay. I sold a lot of chainsaws to various people. I also sold Mercury outboard motors, Homelite, various items that Homelite had to sell, Mercruiser drives, anything that you could, Boston Whaler boats, and a number of items. Now, this letter is, as I'm reading it, is a reply to an article in the paper, an ad, and I sent it to the local press to have it. I first visited Petersburg in 1958. I have to have glasses and a hearing aid too, so speak loudly when you talk to me. With my wife and three children, another couple, Don and Lila Pearsall. We had a 21-foot outboard cruiser, and Don and Lila had a 23 outboard cruiser. We were living in Shelton, Washington at the time, and Don and Lila in Edmond, Washington. We had come to Petersburg to see a good friend, Rod Bain, a member of the band The Brothers, who was the teacher principal of the Petersburg Elementary School. We brought with us a 16-millimeter film camera to document our trip. While filming the 4th of July boat race in Wrangell Narrows in 1958, a new clear-cutting at the mouth of Petersburg Creek is clearly visible. Not a pleasant sight to the anti-logging crowd. Take a look some 56 years later at the clear-cutting. In 1960, I obtained a teaching job in Petersburg. I saw that no one was apparently living on Sasby Point. I found who owned the property and bought it. The family moved to Sazzy Point in July of 1960. The area that now calls itself Kuprinoff was then known as West Petersburg. The people living there had had a good road constructed that extended from the old Petersburg Cemetery to the Ames property at the mouth of Petersburg Creek. The road construction material came from Sazby Island by a bridge that had been constructed. Among other things the road was for was to transport bodies from the government dock to the old Petersburg Cemetery. The Fred Birch family had an old Model A Ford that they used for a period of years to drive to the government dock where they kept their boat. They finally moved the boat to Petersburg and used the skiff at high tide to go to town when we lived on Sazby Point. During the time we lived on Sazby Point, the people living in West Petersburg docked their skiffs or boats at the government dock and used the road to walk to their residence. When I was teaching, I took my students to the government dock and then used the road to the trail that the U.S. Forest Service had constructed to the top of Petersburg Mountain. All went well until the arrival of Bob Body to West Petersburg, who decided he didn't like roads. He actually forced the Gilpin children, who had come to the government dock by the school boat, to walk in water at high tide to get to their home, which was past his property. The residents of Kuprinoff brought a lawsuit, which they won, to have the road permanently closed. Now, for the people of Kuprinoff who are so worried about slides, I suggest you look in your own backyard. In either 1963 or 64, a large slide occurred above Kuprinoff. No logging had occurred anywhere on the mountain above Kuprinoff. I suggest that you take some of the money that you receive from the state each year and find out how you can alleviate future slides that could bury Kuprinoff. Large landslides do occur in southeast Alaska. George, Thomas Bay is known as the Bay of Death by the local Native population because of a landslide that buried a large Tlingit village. This occurred long before there was any logging in Alaska. Several landslides have occurred along Rathgill Narrows in recent times. These slides are not due to logging. I suggest that you read your own ad on page 17. A community harvest for deer hunters using boat access. Now for you Kuprinoff residents who don't believe in roads, that may be true. But if I want to hunt deer, I will drive the road in my vehicle and not worry about tides or storms coming up. This road, called the Mitkoff Highway, that goes from Petersburg to Dry Strait, was not built as a logging road, although a lot of logging did occur along the road in later years. This road was constructed because many people in Petersburg at the time of statehood wanted to be able to drive to the South 48.
Could you? Are you just about done, George?
What?
Are you just about done? We've got a lot
yes,
of people
I am.
Who want to speak.
Okay. Just a little bit here. Our state representative at the time was able to get money appropriated and road construction was started. Had he been able to obtain the money for the high bridge before the environmentalists took over, you could be driving to the South 48 if you wished. I really doubt that the Hell's Angels would have used the road to move to Petersburg, as some road opponents claimed. Now, as to deer populations, I suggest you read the Coronation Island report and look at the Brown Bear Islands, where logging has occurred, and see the real effects which wolf population has rather than logging on deer populations. I am sending the ad placed in the local paper, as well as a letter to Governor Parnell to see if he thinks the money the state sends to Kuprinoff is well spent. Before the borough assembly stops employment for many, I think you need to drive the entire road system on Mitkoff Island. See how many slides you can spot caused by logging. Take a careful look at the many benefits from schools to sewage systems that the city received from these logging operations. This looks like Act Two. of when the mental health people wanted to send some timber, and it was successfully blocked. Mental health was supposed to trade land with the Forest Service for land at the far end of the island. Obviously, mental health, this will not sell you, not allow you to sell any timber if this group has their way.
Okay, thanks, George. From now, the rest of the testimonies, I think we're going to have to keep it to 4 minutes. No, you're good. Thank you. Otherwise, we're going to be here till midnight, I think. So I'll just raise my hand when there's 30 seconds left or get your attention, and then we'll go from there. Neva, do you want to speak?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I hate to cut anybody off, but if we don't...
Sure.
I guess so.
Now. I came to Petersburg before he did, and across there on top of that building, this electric building, there was a Petersburg sign that had a fish hook and an axe for our mark. Now, I love you all because I know you, and I watched you grow up. You played with my kids. But I would like to say I think we should cut those trees, but I'll tell you why. Okay, here we go. I'll make it fast.
Thank you.
Have it in danger as you presume? I don't think so. You take example of Three Lakes Road. That was clear cut and everything has returned beautifully. You have access to good fishing, good hunting, hiking, berry picking, good roads that the loggers built. More deer and moose came over to our island when that cut was there because they wanted that new foliage and that new green. That's when we got the moose. I was here. Okay. And then, as Banana Point doesn't appear to be that thick with trees close to Banana Point, we should let them go ahead and do it. Maybe they'll build us a dock that we need so desperately. We've been trying to get for how many years out there where that Banana Point is. Okay, many of you get your living from a natural resource, such as fishing. No one attacks you about going fishing or threatens your livelihood. So why become people that make the want their living from a natural resource, such as logging? We live in the largest forest in the USA. Aren't I right? You there? Okay. We need to use all our natural resources, such as timber, mining, fishing, farming, and oil and energy. America has a terrible debt, and we need to have more money. And how do you get it? You get jobs. We need that commerce. When a person gets a check, IRS gets some of it. And the more jobs we make, the more they'll get, and hopefully they'll lower the national debt. And one other thing, too. Most of you live in wooden houses. So why are you complaining about the logging? And most of your furniture is made out of wood. All right, you may cost, you know when you complain, you cost the taxpayers money. We need that karmas for jobs, and we need that those logs to stay in Alaska or the United States and not go to some foreign country like they did the last time we did it. We need to keep those jobs here in Petersburg. Okay, now, that's what I've got to say. I love you, even if you are a tree hugger.
Neva, yeah, thank you for your testimony. I guess we can't stop what people say, but it'd be nice if there was no poking back and forth at one another. Just, you know, just because you're on one side of a position, you don't have to, you know, call someone a name, I guess. So who would like to speak next? Dave?
I'm Dave Kensinger, and I've lived in the, and I want to just address one of the timber sales, and that's the one by Wrangell, that's on Wrangell Narrows. And I'm not making a pro-logging stance, I'm not making an anti-logging stance. What I'm going to make is an economic stance. When I bought my property down there in the early 80s, the parcel that the university now has, at that time I asked the state what you're going to do with it. And I actually saw a plat map where they had 45 lots on the beach, 45 back lots behind it, very similar to the rest of the subdivision in that area. And so I said, why aren't you going to put this up for sale right now? He said, well, we will, but it'll probably be in 15 to 20 years. Okay, the mid-1990s, the state of Alaska gave that property to the University of Alaska so that they could conduct a land disposal sale. At the same time, they gave all the adjacent property that was owned by the state, the deeds to that, any of that property that people were still making payments on, which I was at the time, and any of the property that had gone back to the state that was subsequently resold to the university. So that's what that property was originally intended for. And actually, they did get another parcel, which they did put into a subdivision, and they subsequently sold, called the Crystal Mountain Sale, I believe, which where you have a place, council assembly member now. So if you take that property today, if you took that property today, and if you use the current assessed value on it, that property is worth between $3 and $4 million. You guys just assessed the property down there, so we have a pretty current idea what the value of that property is down there. The thing about this property is it's level, it's next to the beach, and most important, it has all-weather access. There is not another parcel in the entirety of Southeast Alaska of its size that has similar characteristics. This is a valuable piece of property. The university, their mandate through their land program is to generate income. And my feeling is that they have overlooked the amount of income they could receive from this property through a land sale. The university has a mission to educate our kids. Well, guess what? We have a mission very similar to that here in the borough. And guess what happens when that property goes from the university to an individual? They have to pay property tax on it. Within 10 years, 20% of the beachfront properties on that parcel will more than likely have residents or cabins or homes on them, and more to follow. It's a sizable amount of money that will be left on the table. And so what I feel is this assembly should point out to the university that we have a common objective in trying to, one, educate our kids and helping them fulfill their mission, which is to receive the highest dollar value for their piece of property. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Anybody else like to speak? State your name and who you represent, please.
My name's Tom Marsh, and I'm representing myself. I agree with Dave 100%. I think he said had some great points. I also think that logging would be good. We moved here in 1980, and I can remember climbing over the stumps and the clear cuts on Three Lakes Loop Road, and now they're gone. My wife, when I brought her to town for the first time, we drove out there, and I told her that was a clear cut, and she said, "What? No way." We had to get out of the car and look at the stumps. I didn't know it was a clear cut over at Petersburg Creek. I've seen some stumps over there, but I think it's appropriate that we're having this discussion during a time when we're talking about budgets. This is a revenue stream. I don't understand how we can talk about raising mill rates or sales tax or anything else and turn down an economic opportunity. As a city council, it is your responsibility to look out for our economic future, our jobs, and our resources, to manage them wisely. To manage them wisely. Not just shut them down. And I don't understand why we would even contemplate that. If we're concerned about saving trees, maybe we should stop filing lawsuits. There's bound to be a few clear cuts in that paperwork. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Anybody else like to speak? Eric, would you?
My name is Eric Lee, and my statement will just consist of one sentence, and that is that I would encourage the Assembly to support the letter that City of Kupanoff has formed to join with the City of Kupanoff in that letter. So, thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else? Mike?
Good evening. My name is Mike Steinbrook. I'm a borough resident. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. I'm very appreciative that the borough tonight is discussing these two University of Alaska timber contracts. I've listened to the commentary on KFSK and the borough business program today. I think it's a pretty important subject, as we can see tonight. I would encourage the Assembly to join with the City of Kupanoff and send a letter requesting that these sales not be finalized. I think there's several good reasons for this, including the unstable slope, deer habitat, and recreational opportunities. I think the strong voice of the borough should be put to use on this issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. I'm sure there's more. Who would like to speak next? Ed?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. My name is Ed Wood, and I'm representing myself here tonight. First of all, I'd like to say that I've only contested one timber sale since my parents brought me to Alaska 60 years ago this December at the age of two. That was the proposed Alaska Mental Health Trust logging on demonstrably unstable slopes that was planned above my and my friends and neighbors' property from 4 Mile to about 7 Mile Metcalf Highway. I have not commented for or against either timber, university timber sale, nor am I doing so now. I do suggest that the Assembly Borough consider signing the letter for potential liability reasons. I would like to give the Assembly a little background on state timber harvest regulations that you may or may not be aware of. The Alaska Forest Resources and Practices Act, or FERPA, is a controlling authority in Alaska for all timber sales over 10 acres on state, municipal, and private lands, with one exception, and I'll get to that in a moment. I initially submitted a proposal to amend FERPA that would address public safety within inhabited landslide areas across Alaska on September 10, 2007, to the state forester, which led to a lengthy review process before the Division of Forestry's board. Susie and I never missed an Alaska Board of Forestry meeting by teleconference in 4.5 years where the landslide issue was discussed. During this time, the board initiated its Landslide Science and Technical Committee to first scope out landslide hazards, specifically areas either inhabited or easily accessible by the public, such as Metcalf Highway, and then to update its regulations. During the final two meetings, the board twice voted by unanimous consent to pass the state's obligations to manage timber harvests on unstable slopes within inhabited areas to local zoning ordinances. This is the exception that I referenced a moment ago. I don't know if the Division of Forestry officially notified Petersburg or the other 10 communities or boroughs between Ketchikan and Cordova that have scientifically mapped landslide hazard areas within their boundaries of this decision, but they should have. What the board basically did was make communities solely responsible for regulating logging on unstable slopes within their boundaries that could have public safety ramifications. The board also decided against adopting regulations designed to minimize the impacts of timber harvest-related slide activity on roads that are easily accessible to the public, partly because, as the state forester said during the March 30, 2012 House Resources Committee hearing on our bill, House Bill 91, the roaded areas have been logged already. However, this is not true in regard to the university's South Metcalf sale. I think that it is not unreasonable for the Assembly to ask the university to suspend their timber sale at least until they put forth their plans to mitigate the increased slide potential related to timber harvest on their property identified as a landslide hazard area for borough review. The Board of Forestry twice deliberately made a conscious decision to not amend FERPA to include public safety, even as it is bound by law to minimize or prevent significant adverse effects of soil erosion and mass wasting on fish habitat and water quality. The trout means more than somebody else, than a human. Believe it or not, the Division of Forestry will claim that it has no legal ability to consider potential increased slide activity due to timber harvest on the downslope traffic on Metcalf Highway because the Alaska Forest Resources and Practices Act lacks the authority to do so, because that is exactly what they did when the TLO was going to log above our homes and highway. It was the Board of Forestry that decided local zoning ordinances are to be the controlling authority for public safety in cases like this, and not the Division of Forestry. With the proximity of the sale to the Midcoff Highway near the Banana Point boat launching ramp, which at times is pretty busy, including with school-related travel activities between Petersburg, Wrangell, and Kaufman Cove, it might be prudent for the borough attorney to look into the borough's liabilities on this issue. It's difficult to not question the constitutionality of the Department of Natural Resources ignoring the section that references resource development in the same sentence as maximum use consistent with the public interest. That seems more of a duty of the state and not of local zoning ordinances.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else like to speak to visitors' views related to the agenda? Becky?
Hi, my name is Becky Knight. just for the record, this is from the 2013 Sea Alaska Annual Report. Quote, during the periods presented above and prior periods, tax depletion arising from Sea Alaska's ANCSA resources has offset all other federal and state taxable income, and Sea Alaska has not paid federal or state income taxes except those taxes related to the activities of certain controlled subsidiaries operating outside of Alaska. Sea Alaska will need to earn approximately $60 million in taxable income within the United States of America to utilize its estimated realizable deferred tax asset related to state and federal tax jurisdictions prior to the expiration of its federal and state net operating losses in 2033. And I probably had a lot more I wanted to say tonight, but due to the time limit, I am the board member on a conservation group, this Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, and we retain the services of a well-known, respected geomorphologist, Dr. Lee Benda, and he wrote a statement for us, and I'd like to read that. Dear Ms. Knight, GSAC has requested a professional opinion with regards to a proposed timber harvest in the vicinity of the Banana Point boat launch area in southern Metcalfe Island. For the record, I am a licensed geologist, engineering geologist in California and Washington, specializing in slope stability science. I have a master's and PhD degrees from the Department of Geological Sciences, University of Washington, specializing in slope stability and its impacts. I have over 20 years of experience working in the field of geomorphology. More generally, that includes evaluating slope instability for state and federal agencies and the private sector. In 2013, I was part of a team contracted with applying the NetMap analysis system to all of Southeast Alaska that included slope stability predictions funded by the Tongass National Forest. I've also been involved with similar analyses across all of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Northern California, funded by the U.S. Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, Environmental Protection Agency, and others. I've worked for both agencies and for private companies because my analyses are considered unbiased. He said I would provide the same geotechnical analysis to either party. Under the present request by GSAC, I am unable to provide a highly detailed analysis of the potential effects of timber harvest on slope stability because the state of Alaska has not provided sufficient information from which to do so. Thus, my professional opinion is of a general nature and should be considered preliminary until additional information is provided. Our slope stability evaluation is in the form of maps I have here. Include the area of proposed timber harvest in southern Metcalfe Island, NetMap's slope stability evaluation focusing on shallow landslides and debris flows is well suited to the Metcalfe Island landscape. The analysis using U.S. Forest Service 20-meter digital elevation models, DEM for short, clearly shows many areas of potential instability in the proposed timber harvest area located directly above the highway and the boat launch. Indeed, there's been documented landslides in this area not related to any human activity and related to past timber harvests, providing certain validation of the predictions. Specifically, the process of shallow landsliding is sensitive to the reduction of tree root strength. When conifer trees are cut, the roots die. Hence, timber harvest on steep slopes can lead to accelerated landsliding and debris flows, a conclusive finding from published studies in Alaska, British Columbia, and the lower 48 states. I understand that helicopter logging is proposed in some locations in the proposed timber harvest area. This activity has the potential to conduct harvest to avoid hazardous landslide-prone hillsides. But apparently this cannot be evaluated since the state of Alaska has not provided such information either in the form of maps or in plan descriptions.
Becky, can I ask you to wrap it up, Becky, please?
Okay. I've not been asked to offer an opinion regarding the notion that trees by themselves... Excuse me. I've also been asked to offer an opinion regarding the notion that trees by themselves exert a weight on the slope, a condition that can be further impacted by the wind, and that in combination can induce instability, landsliding. Thus, removing trees from steep hillsides may actually increase stability of the hillside. This spurious idea has long been debunked as evidenced by dozens of studies. And I have the full text here if you'd like to see it. Thank you.
Anybody else like to speak to views of the agenda, Harold?
My name is Harold Madolin, and to begin with, I'd like to blow a little bit of time here to say that you guys are getting paid to be here. Benefits, we're not. I think that you should listen to the public for as long as it takes. Now, not necessarily me, you can cut me off, but just for the benefit, I'd rather hear what everybody has to say all the time. If you guys have to be here till midnight, you know, I realize meetings get long and it gets tedious with all those long-winded people yammering away, but I think that's the public process.
This isn't a view related to the agenda, I don't think, but I appreciate your...
Okay, I intend to speak to the same issue as the people in front of me. I'm going to give you my Paul Bowen's high school geology class free geologic assessment. Is any slope over 38 degrees, about like this, or approximately 50%, is likely to slide. That's the angle of repose. The front of a sand dune is like that, a scree slope on a mountainside, a hill with trees on it. Sooner or later, they will all fall down. We've seen this along Scow Bay. As often and noteworthy in areas that weren't logged as we've seen where they were logged. But sooner or later, they will all fall down. Along the shores of Puget Sound, you'll see houses sitting on the beach that fell off the bluffs that they built on for the good view. But it was a steep slope. So, anyway... As far as objections to timber harvest, of which I've heard many over the years, for the most part, parties raising objections to it don't object to timber harvest per se. It's to some kind of specific problem related to the particular sale. It's habitat for the Queen Charlotte Island goshawk, like the ones that try to get my chickens in town, a very rare, possibly endangered animal. The deer and the extremely endangered, rare, quite common Alexander archipelago wolves that depend on the deer for their prey, and the population of them will collapse if the deer population collapses, so on. All these things. Or if the ground is steep, it's going to slide. If the ground is flat, it's in some kind of a watershed that's going to be adversely impacted. Now, one thing, argument that used to be really common that of late I haven't heard because we've had steadily increasing salmon runs, record salmon runs, is that it's going to destroy salmon habitat. And I would challenge anyone to show me a stream in southeast Alaska that has been wiped out by, the salmon run has been wiped out by logging. I'm sure someone will point it out if there is one. The only salmon stream I know of that's extinct, look right out the window. But that's due to urbanization or because we're such great fishermen. So anyway, I'm used to hearing all these things and the same general group of people attacking all of these sales, and these ones are no different. I'll say what I see of that South Mikoff sale is, first of all, Looking at the map that the taxpayers of Kuprinoff so pleasantly provided us with, it'd be a really bad place to have a land disposal and sell land, and anybody would be a fool to buy land there because it looks like it's over a 50% or 38-degree slope, so it might slide down on your house. No one should build houses there. Think about that if you ever zone that area. Anyone would be a fool to buy land there because the land might slide down on their house. So it looks to me like the highest and best use of the property is timber harvest. And a lot of similar areas along Metcalf Highway have been harvested. I believe the method that they're talking about is helicopter selective logging. That would minimize soil disturbance, and I have no objection to that sale. And I learned about this in February, several months ago. I've been aware of this for a long time. I'm shocked that it's come as a surprise to some people. But, people that were concerned got some public comment in. As far as the Wrangell Narrows sale, I hate to give away my deer hunting spots, but I've hunted deer up there. Got the biggest buck that I ever got on Metcalf Island there. My wife got the first deer that she ever went out and shot all by herself and packed it out of the woods there. I've been up to that property boundary, and it's quite a ways up the hill. There's a lot of timber in there that could probably be helicopter selective logging flown out. It would. I agree with Dave that probably the highest and best use of that is land disposal along the beach. But most of those lots only go in 400 feet or something like that. I'm sure that they can log it back there and still sell the property. I don't know what the effect with that on the scenic byway would be.
Can I ask you to wrap it up, please?
Sure. I know when that scenic byway was created, there was clear cuts visible from one end of Wrangell Narrows to the other, and now most of them are grown in. So I don't think this would be a clear cut, but I don't know what the effect of a bunch of new houses on the beach would be on the scenic byway. But anyway, I would urge you guys not to try to stop this and just let it go ahead. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Harold. Anybody else like to speak to views related to the agenda this evening? No, that's it. Okay, thank you all for your testimony. And I guess I counted more hands than that. I shouldn't have been short on the clock, but would you like to speak, Dave?
I would be speaking to the agenda item, or
this is views related to the agenda. Yeah. The next item on our agenda is views unrelated to the agenda.
I mean, in terms of the agenda itself, should I be speaking now or
to the letter from Kuprinoff?
Yeah,
this would be a proper time because it's on our agenda this evening. Okay. So when we get to the discussion as an assembly, we won't be taking testimony.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Jensen and Assembly members. My name is David Beebe, and I'm here representing the City Council of Kuprinoff. Last year in this very room, we heard one of the principal arguments in favor of borough formation was that the broader community would have a stronger regional voice in natural resource and development issues. Tonight's agenda item is the first significant test of the validity of that argument. The stakes are high as we consider two inescapable consequences of old-growth timber extraction on Metcalf and Kuprinoff Islands. The first consequence is logging on unstable slopes as they relate to public safety on our highways and at developed, highly popular recreational facilities. The second consequence being further loss of critical deer winter habitat necessary for restoring Sitka black-tailed deer populations, which crashed over 40 years ago on Metcalf Island and to this day have yet to be restored. There's only one piece of legislation which governs state forest practices, but it mentions neither deer nor humans subject to landslides caused by state-approved forest practices. Alaska distinguishes itself as the last state to stubbornly refuse to address this long-standing predicament of public safety. The recent tragedy in Oso, Washington, in which 40 people were killed by a logging-induced landslide in an area with a long history of documented landslides, serves as an object lesson in the failure of democratic governments to function as they should. There are many factors influencing these failures of government to function in the public trust, but on the most basic level, it arises from the failure to inform. The tragedy of Oso, Washington was in part a failure of elected representatives to inform themselves and the public. At the next level, the tragedy represented the failure of government agencies to apply a wealth of existing scientific information to regulatory authority and policy decisions. The newly formed Petersburg Borough is understandably challenged by a myriad set of new responsibilities. We appreciate how these University of Alaska timber sales could have easily been missed, or assumed that the state of Alaska would properly manage its responsibilities, but this is likely what happened in Oso, Washington. If it could happen there, it could surely happen here. While human lives are irreplaceable, legal experts predict each fatality in Oso will result in court damages of between $5 and $10 million, and that doesn't even include physical property damages. So let's do our level best as a borough to keep a close watch on a fallible government process which doesn't even have in place basic rules of forestry practices on unstable slopes providing for public safety. On its most basic level, the function of government should be to provide for public safety and upholding the public trust doctrine in the very activities government regulates. The public trust doctrine is solidly embedded in Alaska's Constitution. It's the principle that certain resources are preserved for public use and that the government is required to maintain them for the public's reasonable use. Petersburg's Elder Lee was a delegate to our exemplary Constitution. Petersburg's Gordon Jensen was a distinguished chairman of the Joint Boards of Fisheries and Game, which recognized the failure of the Forest Resources Practices Act to provide for sustainable yield of wildlife, as Article 8, Section 4 requires. So we have a problem here. It has been recognized in 1980 by the Joint Boards of Fish and Game that FERPA needed to be amended to deal with wildlife management. And the Board of Game can't do this.
Can I ask you to wrap it up, Dave? It's been 2 minutes, so.
The city of Krupanoff would like to help play an active role in our newly formed borough to prevent missing any more of these comment deadlines, which have profound consequences to our borough residents. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak to visitors' views related to this evening's agenda? Is it on the same subject? Well, I don't feel I should give you more time, even when I've cut other people off, but thank you. Anybody else like to speak to visitors' views related to the agenda this evening? Okay, seeing none. We're moving to the next item on the agenda. It's visitors' views unrelated to this evening's agenda.